Please be seated, and thank you for all coming today. I just want to talk a little bit about faith, because you couldn't talk with Harry for very long without him sharing his faith. And how do we measure the worth of a person? Not by what they own or where they live, what kind of work they do, but their relationship with God. And something that always struck me about Harry was he was always very natural about sharing his faith. It was a very personal faith, but a personal faith that was a reality. I wonder if, Donald, we can have Psalm 121 on first. There we go. I wonder if we could say this together. I remember visiting Harry, and this was a psalm that he asked me to read to him once. So perhaps we can read it together. If you've been to Specsavers, I'm sure you can see this clearly. It's a little bit small, isn't it? There we go. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow foot slip. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. From all harm, he will watch you in your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Great, thank you. I wonder if we can have the first slide up, please, Donald, and hopefully my little remote here will work. Excellent, there we go. We're always having to prepare for things, aren't we? And I remember having a conversation with Harry quite a long time ago, and he put forward the question to me, was I ready? And I looked at him, and he said, well, you're going on holiday soon, are you ready? And I said, yes, I'm ready, because I was getting ready to go off camping. And he said, I'm ready for something even greater than that. And obviously you can guess what that was. And he started telling me how he was ready to go to be with the Lord. And as we think about our lives... really what we prepare for in this life. But what I want us to think briefly at this morning is not just this life, but the next life. And if we look at this little picture here that I quite like, actually, it tells us the cycles of life, doesn't it? And how much effort and how much energy we put into the cycles of life. When I first met Harry, I was 11. I'd first moved to Tewkesbury. And all I remember is this huge tall man and thinking, my goodness me, I wonder if it's cold up there where he is. But then suddenly realise what a nice, gentle man he was and how he had time to talk to even children. But when we look at the cycles of life that we go through, and each one of you have gone through different cycles in life, don't they go quick? Hello? Thought you'd gone to sleep there. Cycles of life go incredibly quick. We're born, we play, we get married, we have children, and then that's it. Life just seems to pass us by so very, very quick. And so I want us to think very briefly this morning about this place and the next place. Now, I went to the opticians the other day, and they said, you must have this pair of spectacles because they're absolutely brilliant. And I know what you're thinking. You wish you had a pair just like these. Isn't that right, Tom? Tom. And I know what else you're thinking. There we go. What happens when it's dark? Well, we've got little lights on here somewhere. There we go. And so I have everything in life that I need to help me and see me through. You all look really good like this. In fact, if I look at my watch, I can see that really, really clearly, which probably helps at this time of day. Actually, what we need through life isn't gadgets and the latest gizmos and consumerism and all the things that we're bombarded with every day to try and make our life better. What we need in life is the Word of God. Remember the last time I visited Harry in his little home, and such a tall man in such a humble, peaceful home, he talked about this psalm. And he said, shall we talk about this together? And so we did. And so these were some of the things that we talked about. First of all, it's a place to look. In this world that seems to be falling apart at the moment, whether it's the migrant situation or the rise in crime or whatever else is going on in the world, where do we look? Well, we look to God, don't we? And if you have that faith, then you know you can look to God Secondly, it's a place of assurance. Where do we get help to cope with the situations in life these days? Well, the government can't help us. They're pretty confused over Europe and so many other people. We won't go into that. But actually, the real things that we need in this world are from the Lord. And the psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord. Thirdly, it's a place of keeping when you walk with the Lord. He says this, he who keeps you won't slumber or sleep. Fourthly, it's a place of promise. In fact, the psalmist says, he who keeps Israel has neither slumbered nor slept. And when you look at history today, isn't it amazing that Israel still exists in some shape or form? It kind of is a visual reminder of the faithfulness of God. And if we can trust God with our lives, surely he has shown that he has been faithful to others as well. Fifthly, it's a place of time. The psalmist says this, the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Isn't it good to know that even when we're not aware, God is looking out for us and keeping us? And again, how do we measure the worth of a person? We measure the worth of the person not by the clothes they wear or the cars they drive or where they live, but how do they walk with the Lord? And most of us who have known Harry in a reasonable way know that he walked with the Lord. It's a place of preservation. He shall preserve your soul. He shall preserve you from evil. He shall preserve your soul. And the word in the Hebrew language, which is what this was originally written in, the word preserve is a gardening term. So you can imagine a gardener who goes out to his garden, he sees a weed and he just pulls it out and he cuts the grass and he trims the roses. He preserves his garden so it's perfect, spotless, without any blemishes, without any diseases or things that will contaminate the garden. And this is the same word that the psalmist uses here. God will preserve you like he's tending a garden. And I'm not a gardener. I know where the lawnmower lives, and that's about as far as it goes. And so I would make a terrible mess. But isn't it good that God knows the weeds in your life, the things that need to be dealt with in your life? And God, with these tender hands, preserves and takes care. And this is what the psalmist says. He shall preserve you from evil. He shall preserve your soul. Seventhly, this place, we shall leave it. Because the psalmist says in verse 8, he shall preserve your going out and your coming in. Now that is a little bit strange, isn't it? But at the end of our life cycle, we have to go out. We can't stay here. But the Bible makes us aware that there is another place to go to. So while we go out from here, we go into somewhere else. The next place, heaven bound. I like talking to Harry about heaven because his face would shine. And in many respects, he was already there, wasn't he? Hello?
Yep,
you're still awake? Good. Probably thinking about your Sunday roast, are you? Nope, never mind. So the next place, we're actually heaven bound. So the life cycles of life are actually there to give us an opportunity to reflect on each other, to reflect on creation, to reflect on God, and have the chance and the time to get things right in your life, not just for this life, but for the next life. Because the next place is upward bound if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a couple of words beginning with P that make me think about people when they've passed on to be with the Lord. And the first word beginning with P to do with the next life is precious. Psalm 116 says this, how precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That sounds a little bit weird, doesn't it? To think that God takes joy in somebody who dies. Well, let's think about it this way. This is the way I like to think about it. When you go to an airport and you say goodbye to somebody, it's always a sad occasion, isn't it? Yep. Apart from, well, thank you, Tim. Tim's awake. Yep. I'll talk to you, Tim. Shall I put my spectacles on so I can see you, Tim? Great. And it's always sad when you see people leaving and they're weeping over their relatives and their friends as they depart to go somewhere else. But if you think about it, when they depart, somebody on the other side is getting ready to welcome them. And so the Lord takes delight in the death of his saints, those who belong to him, because he knows they're coming home to be with him. So while we are sad and we say goodbye to those who have departed from this world, the next world has got ready to welcome them in. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Wow, that's extraordinary. Do you know this faith that Harry had? Who don't sound very convinced. Hello? I tell you what, I'm here today with my visual aids, my hearing aids, and my walking aids. My goodness me. And so the death of his saints is this delight that my beloved are coming home to be with me. It's a place of protection, this next place. Philippians 3 verse 20 says this, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait a saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you've ever read the inside of your passport.
Yep.
I've got two passports. I've got a New Zealand one, which half of it's in Maori and I don't understand, but I think it's the same as whatever else they're saying. But if you look inside, it says this, Her Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requires in the name of Her Majesty those whom they can serve to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary. Whew, glad I got that bit out of the way. If you are a British citizen, you have a legal right to call upon the powers of this government if you get into trouble, as long as you've obeyed the law, that is. You know, the Apostle Paul says, my citizenship is in heaven. Each citizen of a country has certain rights. I have a right as a heavenly citizen to call upon the help of the Lord God Almighty to help me in this life when I obey his word. Harry was a heavenly citizen. He's now home in that place where his citizenship truly is. Hebrews says we live in a city that is decaying, but we look for that city that is everlasting. The next place is a place of peace. Paul says this, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and mind in Philippians 4 verse 7. It's interesting, this word peace that he uses in the original language is the end of the war, the end of the conflict, the end of the problem where you have peace. You know, at the end of the Second World War and the First World War, when there was peace, a peace declaration that was signed because the conflict was over. We will only find true peace for all eternity when we go to be with the Lord. Because the conflicts of this life will be over. Isn't that brilliant? This isn't it. For the believer, we're just passing through. If you're not a believer yet, well, you've got a challenge to think about these things. If you want eternal peace, where the conflicts of this life will truly end. Isaiah says this, surely they may forget you, the world, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands. Wow, that's not a religious faith, that's a relationship kind of faith. This is where Christianity is different because we trust in a Saviour who has done it for us. This next place is a place of paradise. You remember in Luke's Gospel where there are two thieves on the cross and one of them comes to his senses and he looks to Jesus and he says, you know, I'm getting my just reward. And Jesus says to him, this day you shall be with me in paradise. Jesus, as he is dying, talks about the next place as a living reality. Are you ready for that living reality? Well, what is paradise? Well, paradise in the original word means a beautiful garden. A beautiful place that has been prepared. A place of rest and peace. You know, I can almost imagine this woodland scene with the birds singing and the peace and the butterflies and the gentle warmth and the breeze. You think, compared with what's going on in the world today, a place like this would be paradise. And this is where Jesus says this day. The next place is a place of permanence. Psalm 23 says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hebrews 13 verse 14 says, in this world we do not live in a city that lasts, but we seek a city that is to come. Where Harry has gone, that's it. It's a permanent place. No more issues. And I couldn't think of a picture that could describe this permanent place. All I could think of is somebody who leaves this world and gets welcomed into the Lord and says, come to my dwelling and live with me forever. The next place is a personal place. Revelation 22 verse 4 says, and they shall see his face. It's interesting that while we live in this world, we have lots of questions and lots of queries. Why is there suffering? Why is there pain? Why is there anguish? Why is there death? Why are there so many problems? But for those who believe, who go on to be with the Lord, in Revelation it says, they shall see his face. I wonder what that will be like. where it says, "He shall wipe away every tear from their face. No more mourning, no more suffering." And I think just one look at his face and all the things that we've gone through in this world will just pale into insignificance. And we won't think about that. This is where Harry is. Face to face with his master. Where the things of this world have grown strangely dim. This place, next place. Are you ready? Jesus is coming soon. This is what the Bible tells us. Are you ready? In the book of Amos in the Old Testament, the prophet says this, "Prepare to meet thy God." And that sounds like a real prophet of doom, doesn't it? And sometimes on strange American movies, you especially disaster movies, you have people with placards and they're sort of waving things around that says, "Prepare to meet thy God." Well, we do need to prepare to meet our God. And the man who wrote this thousands of years ago lived in a society that mocked people who believed in God and did all sorts of wicked things. We live in that same kind of era. And so I want to ask you this morning, as Harry prepared to meet his God, and he now lives in that permanent place of reality, how about you? What's going on in your life, in this life, so that you can prepare for the next life? Because this life is very short. Thank you, Tim.
We're going to sing our final song, "Walk, Walk in the Light." You saw the words coming up there. It's actually called "The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free." Walk, walk in the light.